Welcome into the Ether, a podcast focusing on all things Ethereum, the leading blockchain for decentralized applications. I'm Eric Connor, your host and founder of ETHub, a decentralized information hub for Ethereum. Into the Ether features deep dives on topics with prominent guests in the community, as well as ETHub weekly recaps featuring Anthony Sisano. Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Ether. Today, I have Sean G on the podcast. Sean is the co-founder and COO of DigEx. DigEx is one of the original Ethereum dApps and uses the Ethereum blockchain to represent physical gold using the DGX token. Thanks for joining me today, Sean.
Hey, hi, Eric. Yeah, thank you for having me on the Into the Ether podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to talk. So I guess first, before we kind of dive into DigEx and kind of what you guys are building, can you just tell me a little bit about yourself and how you ended up getting involved with Ethereum?
Yeah, sure. So I'm really interested in the technology since 2014. I wouldn't claim to be an early Bitcoin guy back in 2008 or 2009. This technology really drew me in because of its potential use cases. So I started by getting involved in Ethereum from the meetup and community level. I joined my other co-founders back in 2015 to sort of spread the word about Ethereum here in Asia, specifically out here in Singapore. So what we did back then was to bring the Ethereum Foundation here in Singapore for its very first meetup, which was organized under the Ethereum Singapore meetup banner. And right now to date, we have about 8,400 members, making it the biggest meetup group ever in the world. So this was the rough beginnings of my journey into Ethereum.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. It seems like kind of the blockchain and Ethereum space in Singapore is huge. I've never personally made it out there, but I want to make it out there really bad. So hopefully I can make one of those meetups someday.
Yeah, you should.
So did the DigEx team, did you guys kind of have the idea of tokenizing gold on the blockchain before hearing about Ethereum, or was it kind of like an aha moment after you kind of read about Ethereum?
Well, I would say it's a combination of both. So we started out by looking at the cryptocurrency space, as all of us came from the financial sector. A lot of us saw inefficiencies in the current financial systems in the way trading and even diversification of portfolio is being managed. So we saw the potential of having a safe haven in a volatile cryptocurrency space. Even 5 years later, I would say that the space is still very volatile, as we have seen Ether moved on a big price this last evening. So we had this idea of starting out by creating physical assets that can be tokenized onto the blockchain. We looked across different blockchains out there, and when it came to just Ethereum itself, my CTO, Anthony Euphemio, who was one of the early contributors to the Ethereum codebase, figure out like, hey, why don't we just use the smart contracts capabilities of Ethereum to deploy what we call DGX, gold-backed tokens, onto the space. And ever since then, we've been working on the idea and creating a form of diversification for not just only traders out there, but for people who want access into gold in a digital manner.
Nice. Yeah, I remember I've been around kind of since the beginning, and I remember when your team announced it kind of was one of the first like exciting, oh, wow, this stuff really can enable a lot of real world use cases. And of course, you guys were one of the kind of the first dApps out there and first teams to form. And I remember the excitement around it, and obviously still is. So, you know, I want to transition then into, you know, the product. And I want to first start with the kind of the core product, or at least to me, it would be the core product of DGX. And then we can kind of transition into talking about DGD, which is more on the DAO side and the governance side. But kind of for those that maybe haven't heard of DigEx or aren't that really aware of how the DGX token works, can you explain it a little bit?
Yeah, sure, of course. So DGX is the core product of the company, as you rightly pointed out. It has been the flagship of the company ever since 2014, day one. So the idea of DGX itself is backed by gold, and we can fully audit the entire process. To issue DGX represents 1 gram of gold. We currently have the vaults operations here in Singapore, as well as in Calgary in Canada. And the vaults itself has been audited over a quarterly basis to ensure that the gold holdings itself is 100% matching to its market circulating supply. So DGX itself is created through a process which we've designed in-house called the Proof of Provenance Asset Explorer technology. What essentially it does is to attest to the different documentations along the supply chain lifecycle of actually purchasing metal, storing it, and auditing it. So all these documents that we have collected over this process are uploaded onto IPFS, which then allows us to actually create DGX goldback tokens.
Nice, gotcha. And kind of for, you know, on the reserves being audited and secured, I've always been kind of interested in how this works. So you said there's kind of different locations where the gold is stored across the world. Kind of how does that process work? Like, how do you prove that, you know, the gold is actually in those reserves?
Right. I think that auditability and transparency of holdings for any stable assets in this space is critical in achieving mass adoption. Look across the board of stable coins. We have the dollar-denominated coins, which has bank deposits in banks. And you have the collateralized positions from Maker, which has the transparent Ether holdings. And then you have Digix on the other end of the spectrum, which tokenizes physical gold. So all these physical assets are stored in a vault, in a central, usually in a central location. Around Singapore, we have two vaults. In Canada, we have one vault. So on a quarterly basis, every 3 months, we engage a precious metal certifier to come into the vault and check every single bar of metal that we have against its SA number and against the holding serial number that we have on our website. So anyone with an internet connection around the world could gain access to this database to actually see for themselves how many gold bars that we have in the vaults, which serial number tallies against which bar, and to be able to prove against the audit reports that are being released by these auditors. Be sure that Digix has done its due diligence process. So this is a way for us to secure the physical holdings of the company and to prevent any form of unallocated bullion that's being assigned to the gold tokens.
Nice, gotcha. And kind of for those that are listening and maybe are interested in doing this, like how can someone go and acquire a DGX token and get a representation of gold at this moment? Do they go to your website to do that, or kind of what's the best process?
Yeah, so they can currently go to my website at digix.global/app. That is the marketplace of Digix. So right now you could use Ethers or DAI to purchase DGX directly from the Digix marketplace. However, if you're more familiar with the cryptocurrency exchange user experience, you could always use supported exchanges like Bitfinex, Kyber, Airswap, and every other kind of like decentralized exchanges out there. On the other forms of centralized exchanges that we have, we currently are listed in Indonesia for an on and off ramp exchange called Toko Crypto, and in Korea for an exchange called Probit. So it's widely available on the secondary market right now.
Gotcha. And so there's kind of two ways, right? You can go to the site and you can actually, you know, mint the tokens, right? And create this representation of gold. I've heard people say like the minting costs are pretty high. Is that true? Is it kind of cheaper to go buy it on in the exchange? And if that is true, does your team have any plans to kind of subsidize it so that, you know, minting it is a better option for users?
Yep. So as you rightly pointed out, the minting cost on the current Digix marketplace is a little bit on the higher side. Yes, we do have plans to subsidize it as we have done before. I would say that they currently right now, the cheaper way would be to buy it through the exchanges that's outside of Digix, or to buy it on a peer-to-peer swap like Uni, the Uniswap, for example. It is something that's on our mind right now to actually lower the prices, but we have to re-engineer the price feeds to make it such that we don't sell gold on the huge discount.
Gotcha. And as far as like minting and volume of minting to date, I mean, how would you say, or how what would your team say? Do you think it's been faster or slower for adoption to this point than you would have initially imagined?
I would say that the space generally is slow on all fronts. And yeah, you're right. The gold token issuance has not been up to expectations right now. Currently, we have minted close to 111 kilograms of gold. In dollar value, that's close to $4.5 million in market supply. So that's definitely not up to what we had initially imagined at the beginning. But we do have exciting plans in place to actually create that kind of adoption that will be coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, and I definitely want to talk about that too. And so we'll transition and kind of like the, you know, the plan going forward and kind of how to fix that. So, but first I want to talk about, so I mean, the idea of having tokenized gold is fascinating to me, right? Like there's so many use cases that now you have this on the Ethereum network and you could use it as an asset and do a lot of different things with it, right? And you kind of have that guarantee of stability behind it that gold has. have you talked to other kind of teams about using, to me, like now going and actually using DGX, kind of especially in the open finance or decentralized finance space, is very intriguing to me. Have you talked to a team like Maker, maybe as potential of using DGX as collateral and CDPs? Because I personally think that could be a pretty obvious fit.
Yeah, we had actually been in talks with Maker for quite a bit to integrate DGX into the next series of their multi-collateral DAI. So I, if I'm not mistaken, there is DGX as well as Augur Rep tokens that are currently in the pipeline. So the whole point is because DGX as go-back tokens serve as a very low correlation to the entire cryptocurrency market space when it comes to price movements. For example, let's say if Ethereum or even like Bitcoin or other kind of major currencies out there were to take a big swing of 5 to 15% on a regular movement, gold itself would unlikely be affected by this because the gold markets and the cryptocurrency markets are very separate. So what we have in mind is to actually create a collateralized DAI where the risk of the collateral being Ether could be diversified into having gold and to have other kind of like stable assets within this entire multi-collateral. So it is, yeah, it definitely is a very obvious fit, for example.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited for multi-collateral DAI, and I think that would be a very good match for you guys to work with the Maker team on that. I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, and kind of speaking of Maker, you know, and you said to date the volume's been a little bit lower than you guys have expected, and you know, I think you have a great product. So it also kind of surprises me at times as far as like the minting volume goes. Do you see DAI as a competitor? Like you just mentioned, kind of taking volatility out. Like that's always what drew me to DGX at start. Like you could kind of get away from crypto volatility, but kind of stay on chain at the same time. Do you see DAI as a competitor? And obviously there's been a bit of frenzy behind DAI. Like why do you think there's been a frenzy behind DAI and maybe not so much on the DGX side?
Right. I would say that DAI itself gives a token holder the exposure to having a stable coin, as well as having the upside potential of Ethers going back up to its all-time highs. It gives them the best of both worlds. However, on the liquidity side of things, if you were to go to an over-the-counter trader, it's pretty difficult to get DAI out at exactly $1 for the fact that DAI itself is not listed probably on major exchanges out there. And that could be one of the sticking points for mass adoption for DAI when it comes to tackling the entire payment space. I wouldn't say that DGX is a competitor to DAI. In fact, it's almost like a complement to DAI in the sense that we could actually help to take some of the risk out of holding DAI itself and the CDPs. So I do think that we are a very complementary product. And no, I would say that in the entire stable coin spectrum, DGX is probably more on the stable asset coin space, more so than being a stable dollar token out there, like the USDC and TUSD and stuff.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, that makes sense to me. And I agree with you. I don't see them as direct competitors. They're definitely, you know, kind of in the same flight from volatility. But what you said about having DAI and still getting kind of the exposure to the ETH upside, like that's definitely what we're seeing with CDP owners, right? People are drawing DAI to go long on Ether. So definitely a little bit of different things at play there. Mm-hmm. And then on the kind of sticking on the decentralized finance side, before we move into kind of talking about the DigiX DAO, and I know you guys just launched a lot of new cool stuff there and then plans for the future. I've seen a lot of teams providing liquidity with their tokens on Uniswap. Mm-hmm. Have you considered providing kind of being a liquidity provider for DGX on Uniswap or for DGD on Uniswap?
Yeah, definitely. I think Uniswap is definitely a very interesting project, which we're looking to provide liquidity for both DGDs and DGX to help to improve the experience for people trading between them. I've mentioned as well to Kyber before that this is potentially a product that we should people collaborate on. So yeah, we're likely going to be putting some supply for both tokens on Uniswap platform very soon.
Nice. That's good. Yeah, I think that's beneficial for a lot of people. So I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm going to have Kyber on soon, so maybe I'll mention it to him whenever I talk to them. So I think that's a good background of kind of your core product, like you said, and the minting of the gold. The whole other side to DigiX is obviously the DigiX DAO, the DGD. I'm having a lot of trouble saying those three letters back to back for some odd reason. But I'd like to transition over to the governance side of things. So, you know, you just kind of explained and we talked about DGX. Can you quickly discuss the function of the DGD token?
Sure. So DGD itself represents Digic's DAO, the decentralized organization that we have created on Ethereum. So DGD and DGX are pretty interlinked in some ways, in a sense that Digic's DAO as an ecosystem have the ultimate incentive to help DGX spur adoption across the entire ecosystem. So DGD itself, which allows you to participate in the governance platform, which we have just launched at the end of March, is the long-awaited platform that allows proposals to be voted on that have the core objective of improving DGX adoption. So for example, let's say I would like to have potentially even another podcast with you, Eric, on Into the Ether, talking extensively more into DGX use cases. What I would do is that I could put out a proposal with the DAO and say like, hey, we would like to actually bring in probably a guest speaker from, let's say, a Go industry who can talk about Go for payments. And for this, we have to, let's say, have him arrange to come down to Singapore and stuff. Any costs associated to this particular proposal could be up for voting to the entire public who owns DGD tokens. From there, we could assess from the wisdom of the crowd if they like the idea or not. And by their voting outcome, we would then be able to proceed with such a proposal. So the whole agenda of this is to help grow the adoption awareness as well as trading volume of DGX, as they are both intrinsically linked together.
Gotcha. Yeah, I saw that just recently launched. Is that on mainnet or is it on testnet?
Oh, it's on mainnet right now.
Okay, great. And I think I went to try it and I think it's blocked for the people in the US. Is that true or is there a reason for that?
Yes, that's true, unfortunately. So right now, the DGD platform itself is still not open to citizens from the US, China, as well as Japan for legal reasons. We are in the midst of actually sorting out this compliance process. So in due course, we will be able to open up to you very soon. But for now, it's still not available.
Good. So the plan is to open it up to the US, because I would imagine a lot of DGD holders are probably US based.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, potentially a good size of them are.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's hard to know, but I would just imagine at least a decent chunk. So it's good to hear that it'll be open up to the US. I always got to take these things in strides on the regulatory side. That's for sure. So can you kind of talk about the, you know, you've got this platform launched now and people can make proposals, kind of how the process from creating a proposal to it passing goes? Like, can anybody, even if you just hold one token, create a proposal and then it's up for a vote, or kind of how does that process work?
Yeah, so to participate in this ecosystem, you would need to have at least 10 DGDs and 2 Ethers to submit a proposal. So to do this, you would need to buy or acquire DGDs, for example, go onto this platform, stake your DGDs in, and submit 2 Ethers in to actually submit the proposal. There could be a PDF format that would detail and entirely the process flow of what your project looks like. It would then be passed through a group of moderators. People who have acquired DGD badges during the crowd sale itself would be able to convert themselves into a moderator. So the DGD badge here is essentially a token that you could get, a non-fungible token that you could acquire during the crowd sale if you had invested more than $15,000 in value back then. In total, we have about over 300 different DGD badges in place. The DGD badge itself is not a popular token that's being traded as well in the space. So I would think that for the viewers out there, you may not be fully aware of what this badge is. Essentially, what it does is it allows you to be a moderator, sort of the jury, the first round of approval before the project gets onto the public eyes for voting. So the project must be passed between the moderators first before being released to all DGD participants. This is to prevent spamming. It is also to prevent any kind of malicious proposals to be actually put forth to the public before it's being vetted through by this round of people that we call the moderators.
Gotcha. Yeah, kind of a spam prevention. How many people or how many moderators or badges are there?
Right now, there are 8 moderators in total in the space. There could be potentially up to 100 of all of them. There's a lot. There were in total about 300 DGD badges that were sold during the crowd sale. But I suspect that a single identity could own multiple badges.
Gotcha. Okay. So people create proposals. They have to kind of go through these moderators. Then at that point, they kind of are public, right? So at that point, is it just an open voting window, a set amount of time, and people go vote, and it's just, is there a quorum minimum? Is whatever wins, wins, or kind of what are the rules around voting?
Right. So the only hard number that I can present here is a 2-week voting window. Everything happens in 2 weeks. However, for the quorum and the approval rate, it actually varies on the amount of ETHers being asked in the proposal.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. And then, so a vote goes up, say it passes. Let's use a weird example. Like, well, it doesn't have to be weird, but let's just say whatever passes, it's like, oh, we want to add tokenizing bronze to the platform, right? Add another asset that we want to tokenize. Mm-hmm. At that point, you know, that passed, does that then like go up to the DigEx team and they're then responsible for implementing that?
Yeah, so there are a couple of proposals that we identify themselves as special proposals, proposals that would require more of the administrative effort of DigEx team. So in your example, let's say tokenizing bronze, if the public were to want to see that happen and to have those rewards of the bronze tokens tied back to the DigEx DAO ecosystem, this has to be passed on a special basis. But I would say for majority of the proposals, we expect them to be executed autonomously away from the organization. So these will be examples of, let's say, like advertising banners, music videos. It could be even a blog post about tokenized gold, creating a different kind of web widgets for buying gold directly from the marketplace. It should be something that can be executed by themselves, by the proposals, rather than having the guidance or integration efforts from the DigEx team.
Gotcha. Okay. And I want to get into those special kind of votes and tokenizing other assets in the end when we kind of talk about the long-term vision here. So for now, we'll kind of stick on the governance side. I guess I would ask you kind of, you know, you mentioned some examples, but kind of what are your hopes or the team's hopes and unique things that you'll see come out of this governance process?
Right. So lately, we have been seeing a couple of interesting proposals. We have an internet treasure hunt. Basically, someone would be able to scan through the website, look through for clues and hints on the Twitter pages, just browsing through different social media handles that we have to try to find the free DGX. In a way, this could create some form of awareness and education from a self perspective. But the eventual end goal of this proposal governance platform is to have people come forward and to help build the brand of DGX in their own localized jurisdiction. So for example, let's say someone from Brazil or someone from Russia would come forward and say, I would like to actually translate almost like all of DigEx materials into Brazilian or even into Portuguese or even into Russian and have them published across meetups, community groups out there in their local places. This is the form of proposals that we want to be supporting because we want to create a kind of like mass awareness or mass adoption through the community level. And I would say that a lot of proposals out there currently right now are pretty promising from the community aspect, but very little proposals right now still drive the actual trading volume of DGX. It's still only in the first quarter of this launch, so I would expect that the entire plan, or rather someone coming forward and presenting a credible idea that could help increase actual trading volume is still to be seen.
Gotcha. And a little bit on, so on-chain governance is a topic I talk a lot about, and I'll be honest, I'm fairly critical of it. Do you worry about manipulation a lot? Like we just saw the Aragon vote happen. I believe there was only kind of 1% user turnout and a single whale came in and kind of swung the last three votes. Evan Van Ness put out a great blog post kind of analyzing that for anybody that wants to go read that. Do you worry about kind of potential downfalls of on-chain governance and especially given, you know, there's only kind of those 8 moderators right now, potentially them being influenced to pass a proposal that potentially financially benefits someone that can come swing the vote. Are there any, well, I guess first part of that question is, do you worry about that? Does your team think about it? And second part is, are there any fail safes, like once a proposal passes that the DigEx team can ultimately shoot it down?
Sure. Yeah. So for the first part of the question, there's some form of centralization to that question, right? Like how many people actually can influence the DigEx DAO as what we have seen in the other kind of on-chain governance. So far, the participation rate has been pretty favorable. We have accumulated over 25% of the entire DGD market supply to come forward and participate in this first quarter of the governance, as compared to other governance platforms where you have single figures, single digit figures of participation rates, albeit of course the market total supply of tokens are on a very different spectrum as well. But I think it's encouraging that we have a lot of constructive people coming forward to try to build the governance to its best possible form. On the second part, if DigiX can veto any project, we have a department set up within the DigiX DAO called the Police Regulatory and Legal Department, the PRL for short. So this group would eventually be able to help prevent any kind of like proposals that are misused or even misaligned in its incentives. So let's say, for example, the moderator pool grows to, let's say, 20 or 25 people. And a proposal comes forward to try to create something that drives DigiX adoption, albeit in a very illicit manner. For example, supporting some form of terroristic activities or even activities that are not allowed in traditional financial crowdfunding world. What would happen is that the PRL would step forward and prevent these proposals from being passed and up for public voting. So yes, in a way, we still do have the ultimate control, or rather the ultimate final say when it comes to actually preventing anyone from executing a proposal that will be deemed illicit and harmful for the cryptocurrency community at large, and not just only DigiX. We have this for the public in mind, is to try to prevent any kind of crowdfunding that could be deemed unfavorable for any matter at all.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I don't think on-chain governance is quite there yet. So I do think there needs to be some trade-off. So I think having at least some kind of fail-safes in there like that, that could potentially be harmful to, you know, DigiX or, like you said, crypto as a whole. I think those things are necessary for now, right? There's a lot of experimentation going on with on-chain governance. And I personally think it's, you know, we're years away from having perfected it, if we ever perfect it, right? It's going to take a while. So I think it's smart to have some fail safes there.
Yeah, exactly.
Quickly on treasury management, like obviously as, you know, Ether was falling, like there were a lot of stories that some of the, you know, initial ICOs were selling and it was contributing to price falling. And I know DigiX has held on to most of their Ether throughout the time. And I believe you raised something like 460,000 Ether back when, you know, price was like $10 or something like that. Yeah. I looked before we talked and I think it's down to high 300s or something. So does your team kind of sell off Ether here and there for funds for the team, or like, do you have kind of transparency around that process, or what are those funds used for?
Right, so we raised 465,000 Ethers back in March of 2016 when we concluded the crowd sale. Back then, Ether were priced at $12 a piece, so we were able to actually raise a total of $5.5 million. So of all the amount of Ethers, we currently have close to about 400,000 left in today's smart contract today. But we have not been selling any of those Ethers since the last carbon vote that happened in September of 2018. So carbon vote 2 took place last year, and we managed to get out $20 million just for research and development and team building within the company itself. So it's a form of operational cash flow that we require to actually execute the grand plan of DigiX over the next few years to come. We do not really have exact plans on making this treasury management transparent, for the fact that it's proprietary and it's a trade secret on its own, because there will always be two sides to the coin, right? People will be asking, like, why did you sell at this price? Why did you not hold it longer? Or rather, if Ether goes up even higher, why did you sell earlier and not wait out again? So there will never be a fair decision, or there will never be proper proper way of accounting for the Ether that's being sold. So yeah, we don't really have plans to actually make it transparent, but we are actually in the process of ensure that the funds will be well managed in a sense.
Gotcha. Well, you guys have done pretty good holding to hold for, let's see, you held 466,000 Ether for a while. So that's pretty good on the hold side. I'll give you that. So kind of just shifting a little more generally, we've talked about the product. We've talked about the governance side of it. I'm just curious, like we're talking about a large treasury. Have you considered, I guess this would be more for people to create proposals on the governance side, or maybe for your team to kind of shepherd. Have you considered any type of grants or funding proposals for vital E2.0 research or scaling efforts? I know some of kind of the original teams that had large ICOs have contributed to grants. Have your team done that, or have you considered doing it?
Yeah, we definitely are very supportive of the Ethereum Foundation's efforts in research and development. It's definitely one of the potential proposals that we could pass for the greater good of the community out there, to actually help to quicken research into the ETH 2.0, or even come up with other kind of second layer scaling solutions. I believe the Ethereum Community Fund as well is being created for that particular purpose, but we'll do as much as we can to support the foundation for whichever angle that we find most suited for.
You know, kind of talking about all that, what's kind of the bigger, you mentioned earlier, you know, kind of the bigger, longer term vision for DigEx? Is it kind of beyond just tokenization of gold? Like, what are some unique tokenization ideas that you see that the team could embark on?
I would say for now, the focus is to tokenize gold and to ensure that the DigEx flagship product itself is being well received and achieved in some form of success on in terms of scale-wise. The longer-term vision eventually is to become an asset tokenization platform where we could tokenize not just only gold, but potentially other kind of precious metal, commodities, or even like art pieces and real estate, as we've been currently seeing in the whole security token offering kind of like headspace. I think that going forward as well, one of the more interesting ideas is to tokenize non-fungible products, things like gaming avatars, even other kind of like forms of jewelry of gold, and to create this form of tradable asset class that could be represented in a marketplace that has never really been seen before in digital form.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what's interesting is you guys kind of have like the infrastructure for, you know, for storing items, even like art, right? You've already got like the gold vaults, you know how to do all that. Like, to me, it opens up a lot of possibilities of moving beyond gold because you've kind of already got that process in place, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the entire proof of provenance that we've designed is very modular in nature. As long as any physical asset that can be stored in a vault, can be audited, is something that we could replicate using the current system.
So is that something you mentioned that's kind of a special use case? Like, you know, if I wanted to create a proposal for tokenizing bronze or let's say, you know, unique art or something like that, is that something that the token holders can create and vote on, or is that something that's up to the DigEx team?
I think I would say that it's a proposal that the token holders could suggest for, but ultimately it will require the team to execute this as the token itself has to be coming from the DigEx as an issuer. So it's something that has to be done in tandem together with DigEx as a company.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Well, anything else you want to kind of tell the listeners about the future of DigEx or updates that might be coming out soon or anything like that?
Yeah. So I just want to talk a little bit more about the payments angle of DigEx, DGX. So last week, we actually had a really cool team outing where we were able to spend digital gold on our team dinner. Very soon, we'll be announcing a couple of other partners that we are working with right now to bring the idea of spending gold to reality. So DigEx itself is currently available on BizKey, PundiX, very soon 10X as well, such that we can actually use these tokens to pay for something that the point of sale terminal could accept. So yeah, spending gold is coming soon.
Nice. That's cool. That's exciting. I mean, obviously, like, you know, people don't use gold on a day-to-day basis now for payments because it's cumbersome, it's heavy, but you guys have digitalized it. So, I mean, definitely makes sense to be able to use it for payments at a point.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, this has been a great conversation. How can people kind of keep up best with your team, whether through like Twitter or your blogs, or do you have Discord channels and stuff like that?
Yeah. So our Discord channel is really active. You could join the Discord with the link on our Medium page. So the Medium page is medium.com/DigEx, and we will be able to actually follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Discord channels.
All right, great. Well, thanks a lot for joining me today, Sean. I think it's been a great discussion, and thanks for joining the podcast.
Sure. Thank you very much, Eric, for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Into the Ether podcast.